Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling, a podcast on accessible travel brought to you by Accessible South Africa. I'm your host, Lois Strachan. Today we're chatting to Neha Arora, who is the owner of Planet Abled, an inclusive travel agency based in India. But before we get into that interview, just a reminder that if you enjoy the stories we're sharing with you on the podcast, to ensure that you follow or subscribe to the podcast to make sure that you get every episode straight into your podcast player. Thanks so much, and let's now chat to Neha Arora of Planet Abled. Today on A Different Way of Traveling, we're talking with Neha Arora, all the way from New Delhi in India. Neha, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. How are you doing?
Thanks, Lois, for having me. And I'm doing great. And it's a pleasure to be invited by you on the podcast today.
Well, I've been wanting to chat to you for ages, and I'm really thrilled that we have the opportunity to talk now. So maybe we can just start and ask you just to tell us a little bit of your story of who you are and what you do.
Sure. So, hi, everyone. I'm Neha Arora, and I represent a company called Planet Abled, which promotes the concept of accessible and inclusive travel for people of all disabilities. It's about giving everyone the freedom of choice to travel wherever they want. And I'm a failed engineer by education. Have worked in the corporate field for a while. Love travel and photography and breaking a bit of societal norms, if I have to define it myself.
Well, I think that's a fascinating kind of introduction that leads me to the next question, which is, what was the origin story of Planet Abled? Why did you start the company?
So Planet Abled started because of my own personal experiences of not being able to travel at all, because both my parents are persons with disabilities. So my father is blind and mother is a wheelchair user. And as kids, I could never go for a holiday like a summer vacation or a winter vacation. It was just limited to grandparents' houses or school picnics. And when I grew up and I also started earning, I was like, okay, maybe, you know, when we have more earning members in the family, it would solve the problem. But it was not the case. It was still like you travel 2,000 miles only to realize that the place is not accessible or doesn't give you the kind of experience you would look forward to. Or people would pass comments that if you face so much trouble, why do you come? And so that was a hitting point. Even though my parents were like accepting of the fact that, okay, maybe some things are just not for us by being inaccessible, I was not ready to accept that fact. So I picked up conflicts at places where we went. And at one point, one conflict turned into a mob fight at a temple. And that was the tipping point for my parents to say, okay, we are not going anywhere, because anyways, it never ends into a good memory and you fight everywhere. So I'm like, okay, what do I do about it then? So I looked for solutions. I could not find any. And then I started talking to other people with disabilities, what they were doing. So either they were not traveling at all, or they were facing some similar troubles. And then I saw, okay, maybe there is a business opportunity here. And no mainstream travel company was interested in the segment because they, most often, you know, disability is linked to charity and assumed by the society that they don't have money and all of that. Plus, I think it's lack of awareness that people don't know that people with disabilities also want to travel. So, yeah, so that was the point. I was like, okay, maybe I can do something about it. But I have to convince myself whether I can pull it off and whether this would be a financially sustainable model. So I did my homework for 2 to 3 years and then left the corporate career to start Planetable in 2016. That is the background story.
It's an interesting story that's kind of also piqued my interest in several different areas, but I'm going to try and keep this a kind of logical flow to see if we get all the different questions answered. And I can always come back and ask if I have questions that I don't get to.
Sure.
But what is your vision for the company and who are your intended clients?
So the vision for the company is to change the way travel happens on this planet forever and give everyone the freedom of choice to travel wherever they want, whenever they want, with whomsoever they want, irrespective of any disability, age, impairment, medical condition, gender, race, or anything. Like making it just a human feature instead of a bug. That is the vision. And in terms of target audience, well, to start with, it's people with disabilities and the elderly who have got impairments or have access needs. And we cater to all types of disabilities, people who have a mobility impairment, people who are blind, deaf, people with autism, people with any sort of other intellectual, cognitive or psychosocial disability or any medical condition like dialysis or cancer or things like that. So the whole spectrum is covered, and we have a non-discrimination policy towards non-disabled people too. So all the group trips that we do are always inclusive, in which by what I mean that people with various disabilities and non-disabled travel together, where disability is just a human feature and not the basis of segmentation of travelers into groups based on disability.
Looking at travel as such an inclusive, or from such an inclusive standpoint, does pose some fairly practical challenges. How do you ensure that all your travelers' needs are met?
Sure. So it's more like, yes, there is a lot of homework on the ground to be done before anyone can travel to any destination. So it's not like, you know, you can outsource it to a local partner and it gets done until and unless these people are trained, or, you know, the destination is audited and developed by us firsthand, and the experiences being earmarked for all types of disability. So there's a lot of homework that we have to do, but I think it's worth it, because till when you'll continue the segmentation in travel? Like, we need to look at an inclusive world. So we go on the ground, audit the destination, see what all destination, this destination has to offer, what experiences, and what all are the places people can visit. And then we check, okay, what are the accessibility that exists and what is the accessibility gap that we need to fulfill before anyone can travel? So by inclusive, we mean everyone's needs are being met in terms of experiences. So say, for example, there is a place on the group trip that has to be visited by the group. So we make sure that, yeah, it is accessible for all types of traveler. If there is a restriction, of course, then there has to be an alternate for the rest of the people who can go too. So there's a lot of mix and match and homework, but I love that part of designing in travel, because, yeah, I mean, isn't that what inclusion is, Alvin? So I love that, even though it's a lot of extra work.
I can imagine. And I mean, do you put together each package then based on the people who are traveling on their specific needs? Or do you put together the package first and ensure that in general you know that it is going to be inclusive and accessible and just work out any of the details that you need to check when you then have your clients?
So it's more like a balance between the two, because when I say the destination development part, so we need to understand the destination first and implement the standardized SOPs for PlanetAble in terms of the quality of service, the kind of experiences and accessibility, and from like the authentic experiences. So I'm very fond of local authentic experiences instead of doing too many touristic things, right? Because until and unless you experience local culture, the whole travel is not complete. So we make a list of all the what is there in the bouquet, right? And say, for example, when someone reaches out to us that they want to travel with us, and it's a customized travel, so based on their interest, so we first do an accessibility assessment of their needs, and then what are the interests? So some people might be interested in heritage, some might be interested in food, nature, or culture, spirituality, wellness, adventure. So based on their needs, we pick out the best options from that bouquet and design the whole travel plan for them. So, you know, there's a homework before that as well as a reference bouquet thing. And then it is met with the needs and interests of the travelers. Of course, when it comes to group travel, yes, we have a reference, like a standardized itinerary in which we keep a balance that, okay, everyone, it's a mix and match of all types of experiences, and everyone has something to enjoy and experience.
So if I were to come to you as a client who is totally blind, who is interested in culture, in food, in just experiencing life, mm-hmm. as it, you know, just I suppose that really comes under culture. Mm-hmm. What types of experiences would you be able to offer to a customer like me?
Sure. So like when you said food, so we'll make sure every meal of yours is a local authentic food and a famous outlet. Okay. So if you are going to a destination, are the food options that place can culturally offer to you, right? If you're interested, you can go for a culinary workshop with a local family and learn what people eat in a day-to-day life and try some recipes yourself, and which you can take back home with you and try it at your home, in your home country. Or you can, when I'm talking of culture, you can have, say, a meal or a high tea with the royal family of that destination in their own house, right? Or you can go and experience the art form which is there. So, for example, there is a famous dance of a destination that is there. So instead of having just experiencing the music and the dance form, it's also more about the history behind that dance form. And what is the preparation that goes behind? So if there is a 6 hour of makeup happening and the headgear that is being handmade by the family, right? So you go and meet that family and experience how that headgear is actually being made by hands, and, you know, how long does it take, and all of the behind the scenes that goes into it in terms of culture. Or if there is some weaving, a textile that is famous of that destination. So, there's no, sometimes you might not even want to buy that, right? But you would love to experience and meet the weaver in his workshop and maybe try your hands at the loom or understand how it is being made thread by thread, how long it does it take. So you can experience all of that in terms of culture when I'm talking about it. Or you can have there is a famous festival in that place during that time. So you can celebrate that fast festival with the family, like the whole day, what they're doing from morning till evening, how they're decorating the house. You can take part in that decoration of the house or cooking in the house, or the way the women are dressing traditionally. So you can try your hands at, you know, dressing yourself up like that and celebrating the festival dressed up like that. Or stay with the local family for a couple of days also if you want, and see what goes around in their day-to-day lives. And go to visit a local market how people sell or how the bargain is made in the local markets, all sort of things. It's a coastal area, like the fish market. What sort of fish are available in this region and how do people cook them?
I have to say, up till now, I've been really good about not regretting not being able to travel because of COVID. But right now I'm going, when can I book my tickets to come to India again? Oh man, that sounded amazing. That's just the range of, I think what I'm hearing as you say is really looking at how you can engage with the people who are local and are living their authentic lives and making those available to people who want to experience that.
Yes. Yeah. And it helps us also to benefit the local communities as well, you know, because there's a lot of migration happening in all of these places, and these art forms are being abandoned by the families. So this gives a way to provide livelihood to them. And I think in this circle, everyone benefits. And we're just trying our best how we can help the communities and giving the traveler the local experience too,
which is an important thing to do. I want to turn now to a more sort of general question about accessibility generally in India, and I know that that's a massively big question because India, like South Africa, is a very diverse country with different aspects and different infrastructure, and there's rural and local and urban, and there's so many differences and so much diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say to someone who approaches you with general questions about the general accessibility that they might find in India?
So when it comes to accessibility, like you rightly mentioned, it's a pretty wide question. But I think accessibility means different things to different people. And that varies from disability to disability as well. So a place might not be accessible for a wheelchair user, but might be possible for a blind person to go to and experience the whole thing, right? So that is one aspect of it. Plus, yes, infrastructure-wise, we are still not, I cannot compare India to US or Singapore or countries in Europe, but we're getting there. And at least in terms of big cities, if you are well-informed and you have done your homework, it's not that difficult to get access around. It's just that you would need someone local to know, okay, where are the places which are accessible? Where are the food outlets which are accessible? Or where the customer experience towards disabled guests is very, very good. And at some places it might not be good. So it's more you have to do a bit of homework to realize, okay, where is the accessibility and where it is not. And a lot of places, of course, in terms of what the destination lacks in accessibility, it compensates in terms of warmth of people. So the people are most of the time keen to help if we ask them in the right way. But you have to be careful and in terms of safety and all of those things. So it's like a bit of homework that needs to be done. So it's somewhere in between. We are not accessible, I won't say that, in terms of infrastructure. But the bigger cities are much, much, much better than the smaller places. And sometimes they are surprise accessibility as well. So there is a fort in one of the cities, which is like, which was made in 1100s. That is accessible till the top. And like it's a 1,000-year-old fort. Who would have thought it was accessible?
I suppose there's also the question of a fort has, by its own, its nature and by design, is a defensive building, mm-hmm. and you need to be able to get weapons up to the top.
Yes.
Which need to be ramps, which yes. means, hello, it's suddenly a lot easier to make it accessible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand that as well. In terms of infrastructure and public transport, what are your thoughts around that? What is an easy way, or what are the ways, the options that people have to navigate when traveling in the cities, particularly in India?
So in terms of air travel, starting from there, it's pretty much accessible. I mean, it's great. The airports are well. The railway is not accessible for people with mobility impairment. Even though we are one of the biggest rail networks in the world, it's not accessible, unfortunately, for people with mobility impairments. And for people who are blind, it can be tricky at a lot of places because of the train gaps and platform gaps. So until and unless you have someone along with you, it can get tricky. In terms of the road transport, so in bigger cities like Delhi has low flow public buses, which is great for all types of disabilities. But then, even though it is accessible in terms of infrastructure, it is so crowded at times that independently traveling takes a mettle of your personality to get inside them. Because, we are a crowded country. There are a lot of people around, and buses not always park themselves right straight at the bus stop aligned. So then it becomes a bit challenging. The Delhi Metro and the other metros, the metro trains that have come up in the last couple of decades, they are one of the best in the world. Even if I have to compare it to the one in New York or Washington, D.C., were made, or the London Metro for that matter, which were made like decades and decades ago. The metro train, the network in these cities is much more accessible. Plus, they provide all sorts of assistance for and coordination when a disabled person is traveling on the metro train. So there is a staff who's always informed, like who is traveling in which coach and what is, where they are getting down and where they are boarding. So that is, I think, one of the best things that has happened to this country in terms of transport. In terms of adaptive vehicles, yes, they are available in bigger cities, not everywhere, and not that readily available, but yes, in some of the cities it is. So it depends which part of the country you are in to have access to them. But with planning and, like, you know, in terms of talking to someone local who knows where it is and how it can be managed.
So what I'm hearing is that pretty much like traveling anywhere, with the right research and the right planning, it's just a question of knowing what you are going to be experiencing when you go somewhere.
Yes. And also, like, so if there's some place that is not accessible and, you know, someone wants to go, we tell them honestly that this place is not accessible in this way, the way you want it to be. So would you still want to go there? So, I mean, you know, honesty and transparency is something that we go by, telling them, okay, this place is not. Mm-hmm. But if you still want to go, we'll try our best to make it happen through temporary mm-hmm. arrangements. So it works like that.
It doesn't do anybody any good to kind of say it's mostly accessible, and then they get there and find that it's totally not.
Yeah.
So that level of honesty and integrity is I think is fundamental, certainly in the industry that you're in and in the work that you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, because there's no point, you know, I've seen people doing bookings, like a lot of mainstream companies, like taking the advance, making the booking, and then coming to us and asking, oh, can we do this? I'm like, you booked it without even knowing what you were getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not right.
You know, I remember one of my favorite experiences when I was in Kolkata 2 years ago, well, 2019, was a street food and alleys tour.
Mm-hmm.
It was a walking tour. And I remember, you know, when we booked it, we mentioned to the guide, you know, I'm blind, and you know, he's like, well, okay, well, what are the implications of that? What do I need to know? And we had a really great conversation, and he thought about how my needs might conflict with the tour that he had planned.
Mm-hmm.
And he made one or two adjustments. He asked a few more questions, but it worked out fantastically.
Yeah.
But I noticed just walking around, I said to him, you haven't had anyone in a wheelchair on this tour, have you? And he said, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, would you be willing if someone were to contact you if they wanted to? And he said, well, I would need to talk to them and find out what their reality is, and then we'd see how we could adapt things.
Yeah.
And I loved that kind of willingness to say, maybe what I'm doing today might not work, but see what the specific needs are and see how it can be adapted. I found that in a lot of the different particularly tourist and tourist focused experiences that we had in India, that people were very willing to say, well, tell us what you need,
yeah,
and let's see how we can make it work. And I think that's such an important kind of approach to traveling.
Yeah.
And know that when you get there to suddenly go, oh no, we can't do this because it's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
So yeah, getting that information there and transparent right up front really made it a fantastic experience.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many new age, travel entrepreneurs who are willing to, you know, at least try. That intent is there. So I think that intent is important.
And I think in a sense, it's becoming almost essential.
Yeah.
That need to be flexible and able to adjust. I think in any field in the world these days, you have to. You can't just keep doing the same thing the same way every time.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of the world we live in nowadays.
True, very true. I mean, yeah.
Well, I do have to say that I absolutely loved India when I visited, and I'm definitely keen to visit the country again.
Yeah,
probably to visit a city and experience something different. But for those people who are like me, who are thinking of traveling or hoping to travel and would like to find out more about you and the work that Planet Abled does, how can they contact you?
Well, it's easy beasy. It's planetabled.com. planetabled.com. And you can find us on all the social media networks, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, like a simple Google search, or you can email us at travel@planetabled.com. So you can find us everywhere.
Thank you. That's great. In fact, I've seen you are fairly active on Twitter, although I'm not quite as active on Twitter as I ought to be, but I do see you regularly on Twitter as well.
I did not know that you are there on Twitter. I'll find you now.
Well, I'm not stalking you, but I'm definitely following you.
Now, I would also like to mention that we don't do travels only in India. We do outside India in some other Asian countries as well.
Can you give us a little more details of that? Or
sure. So like countries like Nepal, Thailand, Sri Lanka, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, Hong Kong, so all of these countries, Cambodia, is you can travel with us to all of them, and opening Europe this year. So that we were to open last year, but yeah, thanks to COVID, this year. So yeah,
like I said, the COVID has also made us need to become more flexible in our approach. But that's great to know that your services are not just limited or restricted to India itself, but beyond that as well. So that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great that you mentioned that. So if someone were wanting to travel to India and were ready to start looking at the planning and in that level, right at the start of their planning,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give them about how to approach a trip to India?
So I think India is a pretty wide country. Okay. I think, and most of the time what people find online, it's getting better, but a lot of times, the information is only, you know, some conventionally sold, sectors, spaces. That, okay, this is the Golden Triangle and this is Kerala and that's all India has to offer. So, but India is much more than that. So if you, whatever you might think of, whether it's snow, whether it's, health, whether it's beaches, whether it's, national parks, whether it's, like cruises or whether it's, islands, India has every desert. It has everything. So I would say to start with, don't get bogged down that about the inaccessibility of the destination. I see a lot of places, people say, oh, India is not accessible. Yes, that's an image that globally is there, but it's not as bad as it is, as it seems. So with right preparation, of course, it is a beautiful country. Every 300 kilometers, we change everything. Right from culture to food to clothes to language. So it's a melting pot of different cultures. So you decide, okay, what are your interests? Think of that and then start looking for places and experiences that you would like to go for based on your interest. Don't let people tell you, okay, this is the most popular place and this is what you should do. Look beyond the obvious and you'll be surprised how much India has to offer. And you can make it such an enriching and beautiful, authentic experience for yourself. In terms of accessibility while you're traveling with a disability, be honest with anyone you're talking to about your accessibility needs as much as possible, because then in that case, they would be able to create a seamless experience because they will understand your needs completely. So that these are the two things that I would suggest.
It sounds like some very good advice for those first steps in planning a trip. So thank you for sharing that advice.
Thank you.
Neha, thank you. It's been fantastic chatting to you this morning and I'm really grateful for, you know, the information that you've shared with the listeners today. And yeah, just to know that you're doing the work that you're doing to make people's travels as inclusive and as seamless as possible.
Thank you so much for ending with such kind words. I'm just happy to be here and I'm glad that I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you for having me.
And definitely next time I come to India, we will sit down for a cup of tea.
Oh yes, I'll treat you with a lot of food as well, don't worry.
I enjoyed chatting to Neha and learning a little bit more about Planet Abled. And I hope you found that of interest. I really love today's travel quote. It's an anonymous quote that says, "Of all the books in the world, the best stories are found between the pages of a passport."
Thanks for joining us for this episode. We'll see you next time.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at AccessibleSA. You can also email us at podcast@accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Strachan using Hinderberg Software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lois Strachan. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.